From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fan, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Hey,
yeah, we are Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Big Blue Roundtable, Steve, Chris, stakeholders. Chris, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, everything's gravy. Everything's gravy. Everything's gravy, man. Hey, I'm almost out of breath. You know, I ran to get to the show tonight. I ran, but I'm here. I'm here, man, because, hey, I just can't wait to, you know, this is my favorite place to be, man. This is my personal sports dinner table right here, Steve, the Bleed Blue Show. So ready to rock and roll, do our thing. It's church time. So let's rock. All right. What's up, man?
Nothing much, man. Did you see the press conference? It has nothing to do with football. The press conference of Adonis Stevenson and Badu Jack, the fight that's going to be in Toronto this Saturday on Showtime?
No, but I'm hearing all about it, and I wasn't going to say nothing, but I would really, really like to hear it from you after the show, if you or whatever you want to do.
I'm intrigued by that.
I'm curious.
They're bringing the fight to Toronto. Remember, the fight fell through in Montreal,
right,
and they moved it to Toronto, which is a better sports city, in my opinion. And I think that's unofficially the capital of the whole country
better
of Canada.
Arena.
Better arena, better location, where that is kind of like the Madison Square Garden of Toronto, basically, where they at. So I think this is an intriguing fight. Adonis Stevenson, who's up there in age, it kind of is trying to chase records at this point with kind of on a Bernard Hopkins level, and versus Badu Jack, who's kind of been on a nice little win streak. Floyd Mayweather's boy. So it should be an interesting fight of styles, because, you know, Adonis Stevenson comes with that Thor left hand versus Badu Jack, who's a crafty, skilled boxer. Man, I'm looking forward to that fight on Saturday, and we'll probably do a video on that on Sunday. But
I can't
Other
believe
that,
Adonis Stevenson is actually still fighting, to tell you the truth, man.
Well, you gotta look at it like this. He didn't turn professional until 30. He's like 29, 28 when he came a pro. It's not like he jumped into professional like he was 18 or 19. So gotta kind of take it from that angle. He's only been a pro like 10 years, 11 years. So
But he's been gone, man. What was that? It was like last time I saw him, I think it was Chad Dawson. That he just cleaned his clock. I mean, it was over. I went to turn around to grab my beer, and I turned around, the fight was over. I think it was Chad Dawson. That must have been, I don't know when it was, Steve. Maybe about, oh, Lord have mercy. Don't get me to lie. 6 years ago? In there somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. But he ain't did nothing. I haven't seen him. I don't know how many fights he's had the last 2 or 3 years, but I just know that he's been fighting club fighters. I didn't see him, you know, seeking out, say, Ward or Kovalev, anybody like that. I just think he was laying in the cut. So after a while, I thought he was gone. You know? Badu Jack is no joke. Swedish dude. I remember him. He's no joke. And I think he's hungry enough to take this. He's hungry enough to take this. I can't wait, man. Dang, man.
Right.
Wow. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Previous episodes this week, it's all on the website, bleedblueshow.com/podcast, on the baseball team, the hockey team, the NBA team. So check it
all
out.
Great episodes
on all the stakeholders. All the episodes have been phenomenal this
all
week.
All the episodes
all
were great.
I
got to learn something from every one. You know,
the Rangers and the Knicks in particular were really, really fun. And hopefully this one will be fun too. Got a lot of questions I'm bringing to the table tonight. I'll hear from the stakeholders as well, get their thoughts as well. OTA is in a week, I believe. Yeah, it's about next week. That sounds about right. And I want to talk. We had a nice dialogue about the offensive lineman last week. I actually have a spinoff on that. Then pass rushers, I'll bring that up as well. And then a couple of questions.
Right.
So let's get to the roll call. Let's get to the stakeholders. And they'll call in the order that they called in. So go ahead, because you're going to lead away like they're normally.
Where's at everything NYG? Where's my boy at? Where's my boy at? That's my dude right there. Rob.
Yo, what's up?
Told you, man.
What's up, Rob?
Rob hit me up. He says, man, you going to be on? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, man, you were gone last week. You're MIA. I had to hit you up.
Man, I was traveling, man, but I didn't miss the show.
Okay.
And last week,
okay.
Let me say this, though. Let me say this, Rob and Azul. The show last week was one of the best ever, man. You know,
yeah,
the,
for sure.
The cerebral quality from sports fans that was brought to the forum yesterday was absolutely top quality shelf, man. I sat there in awe. It's in Chicago O'Hare Stadium, man, with a bunch of idiot Bear and Black fans around me, man. I couldn't believe them. But they were there, and I just looked at them like, you guys are delusional. You ain't gonna win no championship. But I was very proud to be a Giants fan last week at that airport. But let me just digress one more time, Steve, and give a little shout out to everybody. You know, I mean, the question show on Monday was absolutely fantastic. Jimmy Jordan and Lou and Ray and all of them. That was awesome, man. That was awesome. And I heard the Ranger Proud show as well. Jackson and Lou and Jordan and Lou and all of them. And last night was another, you know, the Knickerbocker Ave shows are they're destined to be classics later on, man. You know, when we start winning, because we're going to look back and see it as a therapy session, like we kind of did last year with this particular team we addressed in the night. So, yeah, Rob, good points last week. I appreciate it. I'm trying to remember how you started off, because I was laughing my ass off. I said, he came.
Something about Eli Manning, man.
Yeah, you came with your A game. I'm going to leave you alone. But you were decent, though. You was kind. So I appreciate that. I'm just curious as what you're going to bring us tonight, man. Let me try it again. Ideology show, Steve. The ideology
show.
English is hard.
Let's talk about that. We'll start with Robbie now. Robbie, how do you feel about where the direction of this team is going as from a leadership? Because I thought it was really telling that Pat Shurmur called out Landon Collins earlier this week about leaving Eric Flowers alone. I thought that was a bold move by the head coach, and I thought it was the right move by the head coach. But what is your thoughts, and what about the mentality, the ideology of this team from the head coach perspective, from the fan perspective, and then we're going to touch on that too.
Yeah, no, I'm with you with the whole Pat Shurmur thing. I've been saying that for a while, man. I said it a couple shows ago, and some guys liked it, some didn't. I'm not a big fan of the whole Landon Collins thing, how he keeps getting caught up in interviews and saying one thing after another. I love Landon Collins. I think he's the leader of our defense with Damon Harrison. But as far as his whole drama media goes, he's always breaking some story that doesn't need to be broke to the media. So I was with Pat Shurmur on that, and I think as far as the ideology goes behind that, it shows that Pat Shurmur has a set of balls on him compared to McAdoo. He's not just going to suspend you for using your freedom of speech. You know what I mean? It's your choice what you want to say, but it doesn't mean he's not going to have a say in it. So I like that he stepped up and said that, and it shows right away that this is his team. He's going to run it like his team, and through the draft and through free agency, he showed what he wants to do, and that's have a high-powered offense and help Betcher have a high-powered defense. So I love what Pat Shurmur did, and as far as where I think this team's going, I think they're doing exactly what they already started, and that's kind of moving out with a lot of the older guys and not necessarily getting rid of all of them, you know, like Damon Harrison and guys like that, but I think they're going a lot younger. I think they're going a lot faster, and I think the whole idea of how Eli Manning got comfortable in a fast set and a hurry-up offense, I think that'll definitely continue, and I see Sterling Shepard this year. To talk about fantasy real quick, just throw it in there. I think he'll be a top 10 fantasy player in general this year because he'll fill in that Adam Thielen role from Minnesota. So I think that he's going to utilize everyone in a really special way. I can see Barkley getting 4 or 5 red zone touchdown catches along with his rushing, which should be mammoth. But I just think the whole idea behind what he's doing, is just young players. You know, I had a lot of people on the Twitter yesterday telling me, you know, the height's concerning. You know, why don't we have any tall receivers? You don't need tall receivers when you have red zone threats, and that's Barkley. You have your running back, you have your tight end, and it's all around speed. Odell Beckham, one of the fastest breakout wide receivers in the league. Evan Ingram, who is probably the fastest tight end in the league. Barkley's going to be generational in every aspect. So, in a nutshell, what I'm saying behind all this is I think that this team is 100% following behind what the Vikings did, and that's a fast-paced offense with your possession guy, your big threat guy, and your guys up front that can block for him, and a good, damn good running back. So they covered all those bases. And I think that, you know, as far as my critic, you know, I'm critical on Eli, but I can definitely see him having one of his better years this year because I believe in Pat Shurmur that much as a coach, and especially as a quarterback coach. And I know Mike Shula will help him out as well, even though his offensive play calling isn't good, but he's a good quarterback coach. So I think that Eli Manning has all the help he needs, and I think this team and this offense especially has all the help they need to make this work. But my main concern is still and will be, fight me all you want, is Eli Manning. But I do believe, you know, that they're going in the right direction. I think Barkley's going to take a big weight off their shoulders. And I do believe that this offense should return to a high power sense. As far as Odell's back and as far as everyone's together and the chemistry isn't crap like what McAdoo had, I think everyone will be with each other, for each other, and they'll all be bleeding blue together. And I'm excited to watch it unfold, man.
Man, and that's why they call him, hey, Azul, that's why they call him at everything, NYG.
Yeah, strong points, man. Strong points. What's your thoughts on that with the head coach and the what happened with Landon Collins?
Yeah, I'm coming late to this game. I understood he said something about Flowers was pissed off that they picked up Soldier or whatever. Is that, am I on the same line there? Something to that degree? That he went on WFAN and said something. Look, the thing is this, though. I mean, and Collins, he also called he did other things, man, before, you know, calling Apple a cancer, even though I agreed with him. You know, he shouldn't have been out in the press. Look, Collins, and I love Landon Collins. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. He is the key cog in our defense. But, you know, this whole monitor thing that he does, man, it's old, bro. It's old. And he was allowed and given license to do that under the old regime, you know. Under the old regime. He's a holdover from the old regime, and he was loud coming in. And now he's been put on notice that, hey, those days are over. This is a brand new slate here. This is a new team, new players, new philosophy, new coaches, new discipline, new team. Completely new team. And I think he's been put on notice enough for that, man. I mean, You remember last year, man? We had no discipline at all. It was students ran the asylum pretty much. You had DRC and Jenkins and who else? Apple and a bunch of guys just having discipline problems, and we didn't know what the hell we were doing half the time, you know. So because we had no locker room management, you know. This time we do. This time everyone's been put on notice, and it has to start with the best players, with the quote unquote captains of the team, the leaders of the team. And if Collins, if Shurmur has, you know, he's faced some challenges since January when he showed up here. So, and pretty much everyone's going to buy into the X's and O's aspects of his coaching. But he passed a big test to me in terms of head coaching characters. I'm from the old school, Steve and Robbie. I'm from the school of players play and coaches coach, okay? But, you know, you can have an input, but if you have a decent kind of relationship, you can have an input either way, you know. But don't bring it outside the house. And what Gettleman and Shurmur are doing is they're clamping down on that. I love it. I love the fact that there's team management, quote unquote, now. I like the fact that we're doing a self-inspection and policing ourselves. And I love the fact that, to answer your original question, Azul, we're headed upwards, completely upwards. This is not going to be a 3-13 team unless we get 19 injuries in minicamp, which I don't expect. So, hey, this is a new day, and I love what's happening. Big ups to Shurmur from here on. And, yes, Robbie, stop, man. You know my man is – you said it, but my man's going to throw 30 touchdowns and have 13 interceptions. You're going to hate me. That's what's going to happen. That's what his stats going to be in the end. But that's what I was looking at, Azul. That's what's going on, bro.
I'm kind of one of those guys. I'm a little on the outside when it comes to players speaking their mind. Now, a lot of Giant fans probably not going to like what I'm about to say because a lot of Giant fans did not like Tiki Barber on his way out as a Giant and a lot of the things he did. Or a lot of things he said. I'm not one of those because I'm all of a fan for keeping, you know, speaking your mind and say how you really feel. Don't be politically correct. I'm all for a player. If a player is not doing well or a player is not living up to his expectations, maybe he needs to be called out, especially in the locker room. Now, if it happens to make the media, I don't think it's the best of idea, but it is a transparency of the player really expressing how they really feel in that locker room. So I'm kind of – I think they're both right in a sense. I'll say it like this. When Landon Collins went on the radio and called out Eric Flowers on the radio, and he did that and it made national headlines, politically correct, he should have kept it in the locker room. I get that part. But you know what? He's really telling the underlying story of what he was saying. He's letting everybody know, Giant fans, marketers, whatever, whoever is involved with the Giants who is invested into the team, that this is how we really feel. Not what we see. I think a lot of the, I think a lot of the stuff they answer in the media, in the locker room, in the press conferences is kind of watered down. It's kind of politically correct. I don't like. That's why I really don't watch a lot of press conferences and interviews like that, because they're not going to say what they really really feel. I'm a type of person. I like to hear what you really really mean. So when Landon Collins goes out onto the radio, and I'm not saying it's the right thing or it's the wrong thing, but I'm just saying it's the real thing. When he goes onto the radio and he said what he said about Eric Flowers, and he said what he said about Eli Apple, I gotta respect that. That's how he really feels. Because why bottle that in? It doesn't look good in the sense of if they had a pact and he went against that pact, then I could say, all right, well, maybe that's crossing the line. But unless there is one, I have no problem with players calling out other players, even if it's on your own team. Now, let me say this. I also think Shurmur is absolutely right on what he's doing, taking charge of this team. You as a first-year head coach of the football team, you're the new sheriff, man. You've got to lay the law, man. Hey, tell him, hey, man, you did it once or twice. It's time to cut it out and get back to football, because the last time we spoke, matter of fact, ironically, Robbie and Chris, the last time we were together physically, Landon Collins was getting torched in the passing game at that game. The game in Tampa. Mm-hmm. So he really has no room to really talk as far as what other players need to be doing. When he's been injured, he's recovering from surgery, he needs to get back to football. As dominant of a second year he has, he's nowhere near the perfect safety in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So I think in this sense, Landon Collins is correct and the approach as far as speaking in his mind. And I also agree with Pat Shurmur. Get back to football. You know what I'm saying? So, Robbie, what's your thoughts on that? And then, Chris, and then we can move on to some other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to follow that up. You know what I mean? I hear both sides. I get what you're saying. You know, it goes both ways. That's hard to follow up, you know, compared to what I said and what you said. I'm all with you there. You know what I mean? You got to have that in between. But like you said, if there's some type of pact that they said they wouldn't talk to anyone, then they cross some borders. But overall, I just wish, you know, I got in the fight with Brandon Marshall about it. I know y'all remember that. I think they should stick to football. I think they should speak their mind, but not about other people if they don't have to. But, you know, that's just me on that, man.
Well, Steve, you're my brother from another mother. Love you to death, but you can't have it both ways, man. You can't have it both ways.
Why not?
And I'm gonna explain,
why
and
not?
I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why. Because this particular case, in this particular market, when you talk to WFAN and Mike Franchetta and all those other guys, that's not the recipe for team continuity and trust going forward. That's why. You can say anything you want to your teammates, your coaches, and everybody else. But when you go on a radio, okay, now that's it's tough now. When you go on a radio and you throw your teammate under the bus like that, that's not very smart. He's right, and it's not what he said; it's the context of how he said it. Look,
which situation are you referring to?
I'm talking about Collins.
Yeah, but when he talked about
Flowers. But here's the thing:
okay.
Last year we had no leadership.
Was he wrong?
I'm not sure if he was wrong or not. I haven't. None of us do. We don't know if Eric Flowers is pissed off because they picked up Nate Solder, and that's why he's not going to the. He hasn't been part of the off-season workout. Flowers didn't say it. Collins said it. And a defensive player about an offensive guy, you know. And I just think that just looks a little strange. Does it make me disrespect? Feel less about Landon Collins' opinion? Not at all. No, it doesn't. I'm talking about at this point what we're trying to do. We New York Football Giants are trying to do is go another direction. And you can't go another direction if you're going to keep up the same old. Now, having said that, nobody probably read. I highly doubt if anybody stepped on Landon Collins upon Shermer and whoever else has joined this Gettleman joining this team since January and said, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do. Collins just did what he normally does. You know, Collins is going to say what he normally says, and that's okay. But maybe there's some blame to be put upon Shermer for not addressing his forehand. Now, so yeah, you know what? You can look at it both ways. I guess you can. I take that back. I digress. I'm thinking of it I didn't like him saying it to the press.
Yeah.
I can see if he said it on the field. I'm sorry.
Coaches. It's kind of a tricky situation. There's so many layers to going to the press because we live in the age of these athletes of self-promotion. So these athletes who are going to, the radio stations and television networks, they're representing the organization, or they're they're an extension of the organization as far as representation. They also represent themselves because players themselves these days are a brand. I think we live in a society where it's too politically correct, or we used to come from a society where it was politically correct, where now we all knew why Eric's – we know without knowing. Like, for instance, Chris, if I was to leave the house and I saw the ground is all wet, I don't need to know that it rained. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew it rained without knowing it rained if I didn't see the rain. If I see a wet ground, I knew it rained. That's the same what we can say about Eric Flowers. We can assume that he was mad because of what happened with Nate Solder. I can assume that. I think that makes sense. Now, we can't prove that, but that's the point. That's the point. And that's the point with Landon Collins. He spoke his mind. I think he broke the locker room to the media.
Right.
We don't know, but I think that's what we all can assume.
It's pretty accurate.
So, Robbie, anything else you'd like to add? Because I got a couple of questions, an extension off of that, to ask you if you want anything you'd like to add.
I was gonna have to tell you real quick. I think this is the main issue, and this is why I do what I do with the Twitter, and why I come on here, and why we all do it. What a lot of people don't seem to understand is this: the way the NFL is changing, especially societal, whatever it is, the way we're changing, as you know, whatever you want to call it. The Giants media is very bland, it's very old, it's very outdated. And it sucks. Okay, the Giants have one of the worst Twitters, one of the worst social media feeds in the league.
Really do.
And what a lot of people don't understand is a lot of these players that come onto our team, they're 20, 21, 22, 23 years old. They're young guys. My best way to explain it is that they're hip to what's going on around them. So when they say something, as far as, you know, what you'd say to one of your friends on the street or whatever, the media and the older guys in our media team, they take that as a whole nother extent, like most people do these days. They get hurt, their feelings get hurt, and then they take it to a whole nother extent. So probably what Collins meant by that was not exactly, you know, it probably was never meant to start a big issue. It was more meant to provide like a, hey, get your crap together. It probably wasn't meant to be a locker room issue. But the problem is the media. That's the problem. Our Giants media is so trash. That's why there's so many fan accounts like me and things like that. But that's my point on that. I just wanted to say that real quick. So I don't really blame the player completely, so I'm with you on that. And I'm also with my side, and I'm with Chris. So that's kind of how I look at that. I think our media and our social media team is so garbage.
Right,
it drives me nuts. I don't know a single person that watches that podcast thing that they do on their Twitter, and they have 1.7 million followers. I don't know a single person that follows or watches that account. And I have 5,000 on mine. Let me put it to you that way. More people see my tweet, okay? More people see my tweet than people watch that show, okay? And that's not good, okay? So that's it on that, though, man. I just had to make, I know I'm talking a lot of time, but I had to say that, man.
I got a question about you. Let me ask you a question before we get into the other football stuff. I didn't really realize that or what you're saying, because I think that's a valid point about the social media with the organization. I could even take that a first step, because I do recognize franchises across different sports that they're kind of more new generation of interaction with the fans. And not just the Giants. I'm talking about the Yankees, the Giants, like the old school franchises. It's kind of really traditional, I guess you could say. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, Extremely. That's a good word.
Very.
Yeah.
Very, man. I get on that show, man. I know. I don't know. I'm sure they get a couple hundred, but I promise you, no one cares about that show they do. And this sounds super, like, rude in a sense, but I have, you know, 4,400 on that Twitter, right? Not anywhere near what they have, okay? And I'll put something out there, and if you look at the engagement, it has like 110,000, 120,000 people that's seen it, when only like 100 people are seeing their show. There's a problem there. Like, if you go on the Eagles Twitter, it's lit, man. Their Twitter and everything is lit. Like, it interacts with the fans. It's fun. Ours just post tweets that are just scheduled to be tweeted, and I swear to God, that's actually a big issue as far as the mentality of, I swear to you, I'm telling you, that's why one of the big issues is with our media. It's such a, because I'm involved in it. You know, I'm involved in it. I know a lot of these people. I know the ins and outs. I'm sure you guys do as well, but I'm saying I know a lot of these people through people. I know people within the league. I know people within the team, just based off of people I've met. And I promise you, we have the stalest social media, stalest media inside the team in the entire league, and it's bad. It's bad, and that's why you get stories like that. So,
you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You know what? Here's the thing. What Robbie said, Azul, just now is 10 million percent correct. Absolutely right. It is stale. And in this market, it's really, really stale. But I got to say this, and it's not really a defense. It's kind of a commentary. But one of the main charms of this team is just the fact that it is old school, for that sense. I remember, and Steve, you remember this. You and I talked about this one time. I remember, and Robbie, you know this. What am I talking about? Remember Will Hill, the cornerback we had about maybe 10, 11
years
ago?
Oh, yeah, man.
He got some kind of big trouble. His lady up. License, just a conglomeration of he looked exactly like a cowboy, man. I mean, just everything.
God, he was a mess. He was a
everything
mess. Yeah, but he was a beast.
Bailed. Yes, exactly. And they set a halfway decent high bail for him, okay, when he got locked up. You know how he got out? You know who posted his bail? Mrs. Mara, the grandmother. She came all the way down there and got him out in 5 minutes. And it is reported that the precinct was like taken aback of this woman, you know, of high status, rolled up with a fleet of limousines, showed up, and she gets out, this kindly old lady with everybody's holding the door. You know, she has her own personal photographer, all these people. And she went and she got him out of there.
And that's crazy.
That's part of the Mara's charm. That's what they do. That's what this team is. They are very, very close to the Rooney family. Of course, a lot of Rooneys and Maras are married to each other. And that's just part of the old charm of this team. And that's probably, I'm not going to say it's not going to change, Rob and Azul. It's going to hang out like this for a while, but it does need to be upgraded because we are now in another century, and we need to catch up. And I think one of the reasons that we are behind the curve in terms of championships, perennial contending, and all of that kind of stuff is because we don't have that that upgrade to society measures that other teams have. We need it. And we need to get younger and we need to get smarter. Right now we're starting to do it on the football field. It needs to branch out into other areas in the organization. You're absolutely right. Good point, Rob. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yes.
Questions for both of you guys. Go to Robbie, then Chris, then myself. Who do you trust more, Eli Apple or Ehre Flowers this season? Everything NYJ. Who do you trust more? Just production wise.
Jeez, man. God, man. You asked me this before the show, and I thought about it, and I swear to God, production wise, that's the question. Production wise. Man, that's tough. Production-wise, I'd probably say Eli Apple because we're putting Ehre Flowers at a spot that he hasn't played in the NFL yet. And, I'm going to say Eli Apple because he has more experience staying at the position that he's going to be at. He's going to play it next year. Flowers is going all the way over to the right side. You know, he's still playing tackle, but different side of the ball, different side of everything as far as, where he is on the line. So from that perspective, literally that's all I got. I don't have any faith, really, in either of them that much. But if I had to pick one, it's going to be Eli Apple. That guy has God-given size, speed, ability, everything. He's just an asshole. That's the problem. I'm sorry. That's the problem, dude. Like, he showed flashes. He's a good player. Right. He's a good player. But I don't know. And I think that's why you saw someone like Gettleman bring in for Barkley. He knew he was taking Barkley all along. That's why he signed Jonathan Stewart. It's a mentor thing. And that's why I think we went out and got someone like William Gay because it's a mentor for someone like Apple. So I'm hoping that's kind of why, and I'm hoping that works. And I'm hoping the same thing works for Solder with Flowers. But if I had to pick one, it's going to be Eli Apple, and I'm not proud of that either way. But if I had to pick one, Eli Apple, and it's hard to say, but that would be it.
Oh, boy. Wow, Steve. first of all, I'm gonna roll all the way with Rob on this one. Wow. Okay. All right. So, both guys are going into new systems this year. Okay? Wow. Okay. I know the Apple, Eli Apple from 2017. Okay, and he needs probably more of a rebound than Ehre Flowers does. I'll get to Flowers in a minute. Okay. Wow, having Jackrabbit on the other side, that should keep things pretty simple for him. Okay, he showed a little promise as a rookie year, but last year was god awful. Landon Collins called him a cancer. In any other situation, he couldn't be counted on as a starter at all. And I don't know, Steve. I think William Gay's a decent option in the slot, but, oh, man. I don't know, Steve. I was going to give it to Apple because I think that Vetchner is going to go ahead and inspire him some kind of way, and also the rest of the players in this new system. I'm going to go ahead with that. Landon's learning another position. Chad Will is going to give him freaking hell there for that spot. I think he may be inspired by this new potent offense that Shula and I don't even know if Shula is actually that Sherman is going to implement. I don't even know how to answer that question, Steve. I don't know. I'm hoping they both do well because they do wear blue. But golly, man, I hope this doesn't haunt the team on either side. But I think this team is still scouring for the free agent market for a potential replacement for Apple, man. He was god-awful last year, and this video is evidence. So I don't know, Steve. You're going to have to give me your take, man. I can't answer that question, man.
It's a tough one, but I'm going to have to – it's crazy for me to say this, but I trust Ehre Flowers in the contract year, man. That's the route I'm going to go because
– that's true.
He. If you're talking about payday and you're talking about your livelihood, you're talking about getting some bank next season with another team. Regardless of how he does, he's off the Giants next year. He's not coming back. I think Eli Apple. I trust Eric Flowers more because I think he can excel. I would say excel. I think he can handle the job well. And we're going to even bring up the fact that Bisnawati got cut.
Bisnawati.
And all this talk about competition at that position, I never saw it to begin with. I wasn't ever a big fan of what trading up for him in the sixth round and getting him. Like him, Wheeler, and Eric Flowers, and some of the guys in camp, talent-wise or upside-wise, is not better than Eric Flowers, despite whatever Giant fans say on social media and whatever they say in these articles. Eric Flowers had an okay year last year. He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. He had a good stretch of games, specifically in the second half at left tackle. And I think at right tackle, I think he can fit the bill, man, as far as holding it down. Now, Eli Apple's a whole different nutcase. I mean, Chris, I can't get that vision out of my head in the Rams game where he literally let – I think that was Todd Gurley that just ran by him. Tried to tackle him.
He didn't, he didn't even attempt to step one way in his direction. Exactly. Yes, that, you're right. Continue.
That is a terrible sign, man. He should have been on the trading block. He should have been found a way to get a new slate with a new team. I don't trust – I don't know how you guys feel, but this is how I feel. And y'all may call me, y'all, you're a fan crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. I take issue with former or Giant players that get drafted or brought onto the team and they're diehard fans of the Eagles, Redskins, or the Cowboys. If you look at the recent history of these Giant players getting drafted and you find out their backstory, they literally diehard fans of the Eagles. Now, I know they could turn it on and off with this, you know, it's business now. I don't know, man. I don't know. Because I always looked at it if I was ever an NBA player and the Bulls drafted me, I know, and I was a huge Starks fan on the basketball tip. I don't know, man. I might throw away a couple of games for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. That's how much I love the Knicks. If you die hard like you say you are, I mean, think about it. Eli Apple grew up a diehard Eagle fan. Justin Pugh grew up a diehard Eagle fan. Now, Robbie's quarterback, Kyle Lauletta, grew up a diehard Eagles fan. Now, I know you got to, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but some of these guys, man, can't be trusted, man, when it comes to wearing the colors of the teams you grew up hating. Now, I'm just that's just talking from a fan level. I know getting on the field, you got to produce and all that. But I haven't seen any results where you were a fan of the opposite team, the rival team. You excelled in colors. I don't know anybody in the Giants ring of honor who is a diehard Eagle, Cowboy, Redskin fan that I know of and is now in the ring of honor in Big Blue. That's the route I'm going. I want to go back to Robbie. Now, I trust Flowers because I think it's more about his contract. I think he knows that. I think him being on the right side and with a right-handed quarterback, all the quarterbacks on the roster are right-handed. It's easier for him to – his mistakes could be kind of covered up because Eli could always throw it away or check down to Barkley or something like that, even in the event that Flowers does mess up, where Eli Apple is kind of on an island. And we saw in that Rams game, that's like the biggest vision I see, just not even – no effort trying to tackle – fans leaving at halftime, him getting burnt, just bad technique. I just don't think he wants to be here, but we're stuck with him. And the Giants can say all the right things as far as we need Eli Apple, and they definitely do because there's no cornerback depth on this team, Robbie. What's your thoughts? Is anything else you want to add to who do you trust more? And then we move on.
As far as cornerback depth goes on that point real quick, I think that's one thing I'm going to have to say I disagree with because on the active roster, you know, as far as, you know, who's on paper right now, we don't. But as far as the UDFAs, we do. And if they make the roster between Aaron Colvin, right? That's his name. Am I being stupid?
Yeah.
From Georgia. Yeah, Aaron Colvin, and then you have Grant Haley. So with those two, I promise you, those two can easily, very easily, make the roster and very easily start over Eli Apple.
Start?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I think, dude, Grant Haley, I know you don't like this. I was going to say, I know you don't like this. But in the mini camps, and I know you don't like this, he looked damn good. He's only 5'9". That's concerning. But I'm telling you, he was number one in the nation. He was number one in the nation last year through 5 weeks. As far as quarterback percentage when thrown to him, he was locked down. with Barkley. And then so there's the chemistry there. That helps. And then as far as Aaron Colvin goes, he was an all-around beast at Georgia. I don't know. I watched him play live against Auburn. I don't know how he wasn't drafted. Yeah. He's got the size, height, everything. He, if I had to pick between the two, I think he would make the roster. But I'm telling you, either of them can start over Eli Apple with based off of last year. Either of them can take his spot very easily, and I believe that 110%. Again, like you said, take that with a grain of salt. But Eli Apple has his competition this year that he didn't have last year, and I promise you they're going to be knocking at his door all camp long. And somebody's going to see it, whether it's Shermer or a DB coach or, even a freaking wide receiver coach that's watching his wide receivers get locked up by one of them. Because it's going to happen. You heard it here. It's going to happen. One of them's going to stand out. One of them, if not both, will make the roster, and someone's going to compete for a starting job. So I think the depth is there at quarterback. But that's just me. Like I said, everyone has their opinions. That's just me. I think that they have the competition they need. I think Gettleman did his thing.
I always saw Grant Haley. He's a small corner. I thought he was more of a sub-package, kind of a nickelback kind of guy. I thought he was more of a third down.
I said if I had to pick between the two, I think Aaron Colvin would get it as far as competing with Eli Apple. But I do think that Grant Haley could definitely make a spot and be rotational. That's what I'm saying. I knew the whole size. Yeah. I know the whole nickel. Yeah. I hear your point 100% there. I'm just saying as far as depth and competition goes, I think one of them, if not both, somehow will make the roster and compete with him. I promise. That's my opinion. That's what I've seen them do.
How many cornerbacks do you think we're going to bring onto the final roster? How many cornerbacks? I know Gettleman said crap about we don't look at number of positions. Bullshit. I don't buy that. You do look at the number of people you put at a position. How many cornerbacks do you think the Giants are going to bring on? Cornerbacks as of right now. It's still a lot of time, but what do you think?
Probably, if I had to take a rough guess, probably no more than five. What do you guys think about that number? Probably no more than that?
Yeah, five is good.
Yeah, I don't think any more than five. Maybe six, but I don't think any more than five. I know William Gay will obviously make it. Janoris Jenkins, Eli Apple will obviously make it. Yeah.
Right.
They're going to be there, but I don't think any more than five. I think six on a good day, but I think my number would be five. It won't be any less than four. I'm going to go with five.
Because one position is taking a hit because we're bringing on the third quarterback, right? Because one position is taking a hit if you play the numbers.
And I think the release of Bisnawati backs up what I'm saying. I think they're making more space for a spotlight cornerback. And I say that because they had a lot of faith. Well, the old regime, but you get my point. I said there was a lot of faith in Bisnawati by a lot of people. And he was getting reps with the first team at one point. And I remember last week on the show, a lot of people were penciling – well, not a lot. You know, one or two of the guys were penciling him in as a starter. So his competition and his name was out there. And they don't just cut him to cut him. So they're making room for somebody because Gettleman knows what he's doing. Somebody's being watched enough to have a chance of making the roster. And I think that's one of those two corners, 100%. So that's – yeah. And I think it's already in their mind. I would be shocked if Eric Flowers didn't start at right tackle week one. I would be absolutely shocked. I know both of you would be as well. I would be shocked if he didn't start at right tackle. And I'm going to be there in that game. I'm going to watch that unfold. And I part of me wants, if I had to pick one to have more faith in, it would be Flowers, only because, like you said, contract year. And if he ever had, needed any type of motivation to say, hey, you suck, it was signing the best left tackle in free agency to kick his ass out of left tackle. So I think he's going to have something, maybe, but then I saw him not show up to voluntaries. That pissed me off. So I don't know. They're both head cases. They're both Jerry Reese picks. He did exactly what he did, how many years he was here, and that he didn't use any of his pre-draft interviews on players he wanted to draft. He only used them on bums that were involved in issues. Gettleman uses them on, guys he wants to draft, but both of them were head cases all along, and if you look at the post-draft reports and the pre-draft reports on Eli Apple, some of the things I dug up on him, scouts were saying that he was an issue years before he was drafted. And I know you guys have seen that years before he was drafted. Right. Scouts were saying he's a child, he's not going to work in the NFL, his mom's a freak, he's a freak, all these things. Flowers, not really, but he was always said to be extremely raw. Very raw, and he probably won't work as a tackle in this league. and how does it look so far? So I'm just saying, to wrap that all up, I think as far as Gettleman looks at play, and Shurmur will too, looks at players that will play well, knows they'll play well, and proves themselves. They don't just keep them on the roster because they were a first-round pick. So I do believe that one of those two, if not both, of those corners will make the roster because they'll prove themselves, not because they were drafted, because they weren't. They'll make the roster and have a chance to start because they're going to earn it. And that's where I think you'll see that, you know, I know I'm bouncing back and forth, but that's my whole point right there, is it's all about actual talent and how you put it on the field and wherever you are than just getting your spot guaranteed. So don't be surprised, man, about it. To wrap everything else, what I just said, I know I went between points, but that's just to wrap it all up. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Yeah. That's about it. I know I just went all over the place, but you know what I meant. You followed me.
It's all good. Steve, who's in the house?
Hollis is in the house. Bring on Biggs. Let's ask Biggs the question. I think I know the answer, but let's ask him. Ask him the question.
Hey, Biggs, the homie.
Hollis
what's
in
up,
the
man?
Building. What's good, man? What's
in
going
the
on,
building.
Professor? Steve, frontliners, what's good, everybody?
Yo,
what's
good,
man,
Steve?
What's
going on?
You want, hey, Bex, let me ask you something, man.
Yes,
who's going to have the breakout year in 2018? Eli Apple or Eric Flowers? Don't laugh. Just ask the question. Who's going to have the breakout year?
Wow, so it's like either death by diarrhea or death by vomiting. Is what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's sort of like the way it's been put down. But go ahead, put it down.
All right, well, realistically and honestly, Eli Apple has the best upside. It's not that he's not talented. It's really his technique when, you know, he's there step for step with the receiver on all the plays. He never gets, like, beat burnt. He just has poor technique when the ball gets there. If there's a if the DB coach can repair that, and if Eli Apple's open to constructive criticism to repair his ball finding technique when, you know, when he's in the play, I think he has the better upside. We've had two plus years of Eric Flowers, and yes, the last half of the season he was decent. But he's still a liability. That was probably the most consistent string of play. He really wasn't the cause of any issues towards the end of the season, but really the season was over. So I don't know if the play was that much greater or if we were already out of it, so it doesn't really matter. So that's my answer. I think Eli Apple has the best upside if he can cut the umbilical cord from his mama and if he can take some open criticism and work on his technique when the ball arrives. During the play, I think he has a better upside because he has speed. He is talented. It's just at the end of the play. We can never really say, yo, he got beat or he got really fooled. He just never finds the ball when it comes.
Right,
so,
never.
You know, that's my opinion, so that's how I feel about it.
All right, Steve.
All right, cool. I guess last question on the table, go back to everything NYG. We're going to talk about the business in the Wadi Cup, kind of piggybacked off that. And the OTA is coming up next week. We had a lot of discussion as who's going to be a left guard and right guard. And a lot of the answers that the Giants released was Will Hernandez is going to get the majority of the reps at left guard, but he'll have some reps at right guard and vice versa for Omame. But there's other guys on the roster that you have brought up because you thought about the extra cornerback where I thought there's other linemen that the Giants are looking at. Like, I thought Nick Gates is a guy they're going to really look at as a backup guard. I also thought Nick Benton is another tackle that they could implement as far as on the right side. I don't think Wheeler's going to play no right tackle. I think he's going to solely be behind Nate Solder. It doesn't make sense to bring him the right. So that's kind of how I think they're going to look at it. But, of course, everybody's going to have reps. Now, Robbie, what's your question looking into OTA as these players get the roundup and on these organized train activities, and then we'll go down to Bakes and then Chris, and then go around for final thoughts after that.
Over the years, it's something I've learned over the years, and that's as far as You know, I've got that from people. I've got that from you especially. I take it a lot more with a grain of salt. And, again, that's all – that's you. I got that from you. I take it a lot more with a grain of salt than I used to because, you know, before I started, you know, with even more experience within this team and stuff like that, you know, back when I first started this show 4 or 5 years ago, when this all got started for me, as far as, you know, being involved as much as I am, I looked at OTAs and things like that as, oh, if this guy plays well, he's started. You know, I remember Jarrell Adams, all these guys, Darian Thompson, and you guys know I love Darian Thompson. I still have faith in him, but you get my point. So my mentality going into OTAs is I'm excited to see what they do. I'm excited to see who they put at first team, second team, but that in my head, that does not mean that's what's going to be showing up on week one when I'm in MetLife. That's not going to be, you know, for sure what's going to be there. You never know what could happen during OTAs. We could see, I kind of hope not, but Dez Bryant gets signed. That could happen. He just literally said in an interview 5 minutes ago, he said, in his words, I'm waiting to see if New York needs my help come OTAs. So you never know. You never know what can happen. So I'm taking it very, very slowly. I'm taking it with a grain of salt, as you would say, Steve, and I'm just going to watch and I'm going to see what they do. I want to make sure that everyone's in line. I don't want to see any beef. And please, please, God, please, injury bug, for once, we've been saying it for 4, whatever, 5 years now, leave us alone, please. We get it every year. Something starts to make sense. It starts to look good on paper, and we get screwed. So please, I'm hoping for healthy, you know, good practices. I'm hoping for Shermer to look like he can command this team. I'm hoping to see a lot from Webb and Lauletta as far as competition goes. There's a lot of things I'm looking for, but overall, I just want to see this team come together. I want to see them work together, and I want to see a good start to what will hopefully be a non-frustrating or less frustrating good year. So, you know, in a nutshell, I'm just taking it with a grain of salt. I'm going to watch over it. I'm going to watch over it very carefully, and I'm going to pray and hope that we can stay healthy. And, you know, that's pretty much it. Just very, very cautious in my approach this year, for sure.
Rob. Oh, I forgot the question, Steve. I was listening to Robbie. I forgot.
Your thoughts on OTAs, man. Then go to bed, Joe.
I've been missing the OTAs. As you know, I've been abroad. I don't really know a lot yet, so I'm going to have to skip over that question. But I do know that this is probably the most spirited. You're going to see a little bit more spirit as it goes on, because I do know what Sherman's OTAs were like in Minnesota. Very festive. And this one should be sort of the same. So I'm going to skip over that and give it to Bakes.
All right.
What are those questions again? OTAs, what expectations?
Yes, sir.
OTAs and what now?
No, that's it.
Expectation for OTAs. Listen, like everything NYG. Listen, we just don't. We want to come out of that joint healthy.
Oh yes, we
period.
Do.
We want good competition.
Oh, yes,
we want to see all the rooks. You want to see all the rooks compete. You want to see all the people that are talented for job come out in shape and compete. But we don't want injuries. Absolutely not. We want to go into, you know, into the season as unscathed as possible. You know, last year we had the whole thing with Odell. You know what I'm saying? That started off rough, and I mean Odell and Marshall were a little banged up going in. We just want to be healthy. That's what I want to see. And it's like,
okay,
like you said, it's been about 4 or 5 years with the same, you know, healthy bug. I don't know. We have to have a serious talk with our fitness trainer and their regimen. We need to drink more coconut water or something. I don't know. But they need to come out healthy. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. All right, Steve. We about to close shop or what?
Yeah, Manfred, let's squeeze in real quick. Ray's on the line, and then we'll go around for final. Manfred, we'll start. Ray, your final thoughts. Oh, I would say final thoughts, but your thoughts as far as the OTA is coming up, and then we'll go back to everything NYG. His final thoughts, then Bakes, then we'll wrap up.
Listen, first of all, I want to see. Y'all, I want to give a shout out to Chris, Deep Bass. Hey. We talk on Facebook. You know what's up.
What's
Steve,
good?
Listen, man. This team needs. Oh, here we go. Every time.
No
every
bromance.
Time,
no bromance.
Baby.
No bromance. No bromance. No bromance. No bromance. No
room,
man.
Yo.
Go ahead.
Listen. Yo, this team, the thing that worries me about this team, we need edge rushers. Johnny, the dress back.
Oh, shoot. That's what we're supposed to talk
about. Forgot to bring that up. I'm so sorry. That was on the topics, too. I'll bring it up next week. Thank you so much.
Edge rushers. Other than that, I just hope that we stay healthy. And if we stay healthy, you can be all right, man. All these people talk about the schedule so well. We can beat certain teams on the schedule. Other than that, man, listen, John's ready to go. I'm sorry I called in late, but, yo, listen, we're going to be all right, man.
Right.
That's all I got.
Bluer, man. It's all good.
Shout out to Ray, man. Lee Blue, shout outs to Ray, man. You know what? That was on the table. It went right over my my thoughts, man. I had that on the table. Next week. It's pass rushers, absolutely. That is definitely on the table. Had everything, NYJ, your final thoughts. Go ahead, your final thoughts.
Yeah, man. Hey, you're damn right about that, man. Our edge rushers, oh, man. We're paying Vernon J.J. Watt money to tackle a running back. Anyways, yeah, I won't. I won't. Hey man, this was one of my favorite shows, man. I really enjoyed for what it was talking to both of you, just back and forth. Felt like a private show. We were chilling. it was a good time, man. Hey, it was a good time. As always, man, it's great talking to my Bleed Blue brothers. And you know, I'll be back next week, man. But overall, great stuff. I learned something new every day. Great talking to y'all. Chris, I appreciate those Facebook, those great risings every morning, man. I check them out every morning.
Wow. Thank you,
man. Other than that, my brother Steve and Chris and everybody else, great talking to y'all. God bless. I'll talk to y'all next week. Blue Blue.
And everything in what? G.
Blue Blue. Hey, Chris, before we go to base, let's squeeze in Big Blue Arizona. Hey, Jason, we're out of time, but if you could just. Your thoughts on OTAs real quick, and shout outs to Big Blue Arizona, and then we get to the Bakes, and then we'll wrap up. Go ahead, Jay.
Got it.
Hey, guys. Hey, man. 103 out in the Valley of the Sun.
No.
It is hot as fuck on fire.
Oh, God. I'm
melting.
I missed the majority of the show, but I just want to let you know I'm really excited about the upcoming season. Travel is set. Parties are getting set. Steve, you know how crazy I get. I can't wait to see you, Sim, Big O, Chris, Bakes, whoever else I mentioned. That's all I care about. Bleed Blue. All
right. Bleed Blue. Oh, man.
Blue.
Bakes.
Yes, sir.
Final thought,
man,
sir.
Yeah, man. Sorry I got in late, but good show, the part that I caught. We'd love to talk about edge rushers next week. This is Frontliner Radio, Bleed Blue Nation, all day, every day, man. Love you guys that come on and support, and love Steve for providing the platform to allow us to rock. We got some exciting things coming for Frontliners this season. Stay tuned. As always, you can reach me at NYG Frontliners on IG and Frontliners NYG on Twitter. Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue. Y'all heard him.
Blue.
Frontliners page. And hey, check us out also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, The Bleed Blue Show, The Bleed Blue Show, Stitcher apps, iTunes, everything else, man. Steve, take us home, baby.
Yeah, for all the stakeholders, it'll be Robbie, Rayson, Jason, Bakes, Chris, myself. This episode will be, of course, on our website and, of course, on iTunes, Podcast Republic. Tune in your Stitcher apps. I will be on Sunday for our video show. We're going to be talking a little bit of the boxing and getting ready for the upcoming week for these episodes. So on the Facebook fan page, we'll be doing our video, getting ready for all the weekend sports and talking all the sports all over the weekend. Sangre Azul, we're out of time. Bleed Blue.
Sangre Azul!
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.